What are you supposed to be, some kind of a cosmonaut?
No, we're exterminators. Somebody saw a cockroach up on 12.
That's gotta be some cockroach.
Bite your head off, man.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. This is episode 27, and on this week's show we'll be talking about the 1984 film Ghostbusters. But before we do that, let me go around and introduce who's with us today. My name is Sean, and as usual, my buddy Rob Flack-O'Hara. What's going on, Rob?
What's going on, man? I'm starting to think maybe, you know, all this talk about ghosts, maybe this episode is haunted. We've been having some technical difficulties getting this one off the launch pad.
Yeah, we're about an hour behind.
I know. I just clicked on something and Slimer popped up here. So I think that we might have some ghosts in the system on this one.
Well, I'll see if I can get rid of them in post.
You can bust
see what happens.
Bust them in post.
Yeah. So that other voice you hear there laughing in the background, you might know him, his artwork and over at The Retroist and for some of the Retroist episodes of his podcast, Christopher Tupo. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. I'm great. Thank you very much for having me. I've been waiting for this for quite a while now. It feels kind of like I'm at prom. You know, I've been waiting so long and it's finally the big night. And here, you know, I'm ready to dance.
Well,
that sounds really lame. You can cut all that out, but I'm really excited.
No, that sounds great.
I'm over here doing the robot by myself. I'll let you two dance.
Oh boy, we're suddenly in an 80s romance. But yeah, Chris, why don't you tell people a little about your website that you got going, some of the artwork that you've been doing.
Okay, so I got a website. It's ctupa.com. I do a lot of retro art, a lot of commissions. I got a couple comics I've done. I just like doing a lot of really fun stuff. I've been on a couple podcasts. I used to do a podcast. So I just like doing a lot of different fun stuff, done a couple kids books. But the retro stuff is really fun. I love doing Star Wars art, G.I. Joe art, all that kind of stuff. The characters from the 80s were really neat, really fun. And so I'm really drawn to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really great stuff. You sent me up some stuff. You custom drew a Luke Skywalker with his head chopped off because, as we've talked about before on the show, a lot of my, not all of them, but a good chunk of my Star Wars guys ended up with their heads off from the spokes on my mom's exercise bike. So that was really cool, man. But yeah, Chris has got awesome stuff. You can go to you have your website. It's ctupa.com, correct?
Yes sir.
Now I gotta ask, what kind of medium do you work in? Because not only does the stuff look great, I mean the color is great and the lines look really great, but you're also, I mean, you're pretty fast at churning some of this stuff out too.
Yeah, I do a lot of, right now I do a lot of just like ink and watercolor. I really like that because it's, you can give it to somebody. I do stuff on a digital, like Photoshop and stuff, but I like having that original piece of art that you can mail to somebody instead of like printing something out. So I do a lot of ink and watercolor. It's pretty fun. And you have something you can give somebody.
So yeah, because the one that you sent up to me, that was a watercolor, Luke Skywalker. I think a couple of them were watercolors,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, that was funny. Rob said something about, he should draw something with their heads cut off. So I did. And that's funny. You still,
but it
you
was
still
fast. Have... Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, he said you guys were about to record. And I'm like, oh, man, I want to get this to him real quick. And then he showed that picture. You still have all their heads. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
They survived. Do you have,
yeah, that's, I only have a couple left.
Do you have the bodies or is it just the heads?
No.
You just have a box of like Star Wars heads.
it's just like a little jar. I keep pencils in, and then at the bottom are a bunch of Star Wars heads.
Do you have you have heads from like G.I. Joe and Ninja Turtles or is it just Star Wars?
Well, I didn't collect Ninja Turtles, but yeah, pretty much just Star Wars. Although I did have a few G.I. Joe guys that lost some legs. I was rough, man. I was really, I mean, I enjoyed my toys. you know, when there was a battle, there was definitely a battle and people lost limbs.
It was casualties.
Serious. They played for keeps.
Yeah. So your podcast that you used to do, what exactly did you do on your podcast? Is that an interview type thing that you were doing?
Yeah, interviewed. I had my wife on there, had my brother, my dad, had a couple friends that I met, a couple people I met online. And we would just talk about it. It was just a totally random topic every week or every 2 weeks or so. So I think we'd end up doing like 20 of them. But it was just like a random kind of Q&A. And it was pretty fun. I really liked doing that.
Yeah, I listened to a few. I really liked, and I even told you, I liked the one where I think it was your friend Lewis that you hadn't spoke with for like 20 years.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Yeah, it was cool, and it made me search out my childhood best friend. I haven't heard back from him, but I sent him a friend request on Facebook. So, but in my defense,
you haven't heard back from him yet.
No, and I checked. So I was like, well, man, if I see something posted on there on his Facebook, then I'm really gonna feel like schmuck. But he hasn't been active, at least publicly. Like,
he's probably outside your window right now.
Yeah. But it hasn't been public or posting anything since like October, so I don't know if he really uses it a lot. But
he's probably like a really diehard Star Wars fan, and when he heard about what you did to your toys,
he blocked him. Yeah,
yeah, he's like, no, no.
Yeah,
you know, it like in Ghostbusters, you know, we have the whole thing about the Keymaster trying to get to the the gatekeeper or whatever, and so maybe, you know, this childhood friend of yours has all the bodies but doesn't have the heads. And then you've got all the Star Wars heads. You guys could get back together and put together the entire figures again.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah. So do you have any plans on bringing your podcast back? Or?
Actually, since we talked about it the other day, I really thought about it. I've been writing some notes down about how I'd like to do it. And so it's on my list, so we'll see. If I do it, I want to make sure I have time and not I don't want it to be like a job or a chore. I just want it to be something fun. So,
oh God, try recording with Rob O'Hara every week.
Somebody's got to do it.
Or editing Rob O'Hara every week. No, but that's cool, man. I hope I hope you come up with something, and yeah, you just have fun with it, and definitely let us know. We'll spread the word about your new show if you get something going.
Thank you. I think I'm going to call it, I was thinking about calling it like Throwback Reviews, Redo, Throwback Reviews. Yeah. I'm just messing with you.
I'll sell you a domain name. So before we get into the actual Ghostbusters film here, I'm going to ask you like four questions. Like, let's say, okay, so I said waffles or pancakes. You'd have to pick which one you want.
Waffles.
Just to kind of, all right. I go with the waffles as well. But just so we can kind of get a little feel for the way you're thinking.
Oh, okay.
We tried this. We did this about 2 weeks ago. Rob and I and Ferg from Tired 2600 Game by Game podcast. We just did a hangout randomly. We were like, hey, let's just try and record something. And we were drinking, and I don't think it's ever going to come out, but I had asked Rob, like, I don't know, I think it was what, like 20 questions or something I had written down to ask you. And we were trying to do like a rapid fire, and it definitely wasn't. It
fortunately,
wasn't
I'm
fire.
Known for my brief answers to questions. So it went really fast and I didn't sidetrack us at all.
Yeah. And as long as you haven't been drinking straight schnapps, we should be okay.
No.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-oh.
So these are in no order. Here we go. I'm going to ask these questions. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Oh, thank you.
Yay.
Cocoa Pebbles or Fruity Pebbles?
Cocoa Pebbles or Fruity Pebbles? Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles. Okay. Bert or Ernie?
Bert or... Oh, who's the orange one? Ernie.
Okay. And here's the tough one. The Blues Brothers or the Holy Grail?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Blues Brothers only because I heard it's got good music, but that's, I haven't seen either one of those, but, I like the blues. So I'm going to go with that.
All right. That was definitely a loaded question. Christopher told me today that he was listening to the Blues Brothers episode we did 2 weeks ago, And he told me that he had never seen it as well. So I was like, oh, man, that's really cool. And then he voxed me a little later and was like, yeah, and I never saw the Holy Grail. So I'm not the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen clips of them every now and then.
Yeah.
And heard, all the little one-liners, but I've never actually sat down and watched either one of them.
Well, that's good. I'm not the only one, because I thought I was like the only person that had never seen the Blues Brothers. But and it was okay. It was, it was a fun movie from watching it, but probably won't watch it again. Anyways, Rob, why don't you give us our summary for people that haven't possibly seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah, you got to think everybody's seen this one right now. But I wrote this down earlier. After New York City goes under siege from paranormal pests, Doctors Venkman, Stance, and Spengler launch their own business as paranormal exterminators known as the Ghostbusters, where they attempt to rid the city of its ghostly siege. The heat turns up when the Gatekeeper and Keymaster team up to let the evil Gozer loose on New York City. Find out if our heroes are able to save the town one more time in this week's show, Ghostbusters.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rob.
It's like the movie phone line.
So, Christopher, is this a movie that you went and saw at the theaters, or was it an HBO movie? Is a lot of them are for us.
Yeah, it's probably a rental. I don't remember ever going to the movies very often, so it was probably a rental. I know I saw it as a kid, but I probably only saw it a couple times, maybe on TV or something.
And was it one of your favorites? Or
honestly, looking back on it, like, it's something I always knew about the Ghostbusters as far as I can remember, as growing up. I liked them, but the movie itself, like, I don't really remember the movie so much. I remember more of like the idea of the Ghostbusters. It's these four guys. They live in the firehouse, and there's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And that's kind of what I remember, that and like the toys. But the movie itself, I don't really remember it too much. I guess I was more fixed on like all the hype in the media and like, all the kids playing Ghostbusters out in the yard and stuff, but that's kind of what I remember, not so much the movie.
Right. Rob, are you playing a joke? Is this my buddy? Is this my best friend from when I was a kid, Philip?
Hey,
are you sure this is Chris Tupa?
I have the bodies.
it's funny that you say that, because it was kind of the same for me. Like, I remember the movie. And honestly, when we talked about doing this a few months ago, I was like, man, I don't even know if I saw the entire thing. It really didn't have that big of an impact on me. But then when I watched it a few months ago, I was like, yeah, I did see the entire thing. It just, I saw it as a kid. I knew it was this like big craze with people at school and other kids. But for me, it was the same thing. Like, it wasn't like Star Wars or any other movie that I was just like totally into. And, I knew of all the characters and stuff. I actually probably saw the cartoon more, the real Ghostbusters cartoon, and remembered that more so than the movie, which I don't remember the cartoon really that much anymore. But
yeah.
When I would think about Ghostbusters, I'd go, yeah, I remember watching the cartoon.
Yeah, same here.
But now watching this movie, I mean, I'm not going to beat around the bush, man. I love this movie. This is probably this movie, watching this for this episode, was probably my second favorite movie of all the episodes that we've done for movies, second behind Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really, really enjoyed this movie. My kids watched it with me a few times. And my oldest son, he kept saying he wanted to wait for his buddy to watch it. And I was like, come on, he's sick. You just watch it with us. And he liked it. So it was, I'm glad we did this one, man, because I'm totally a Ghostbusters nut now.
Good.
So, Rob, what about you?
We had a drive-in theater open pretty near us in the early 80s. And so I know that I saw this film. I want to say it opened in probably 82. And so you've got that big section of movies from like 82 to 84 that I have specific memories of seeing at that drive-in. I know I saw Tron there. I know we went and saw Dragon Slayer when that came out.
Yeah.
I know we saw Time Bandits there. There was like all these movies that were just lined up from that era. And I definitely saw Ghostbusters there. So that's where I saw it, was in that drive-in. And then I had another connection to it later on, because I think Ghostbusters was one of the first DVDs I got when I got a DVD player. I know that it was one of the first ones I got. And the Ghostbusters DVD is one of those that's filled with special features. I mean, it has the commentary track, it has behind the scenes special effects, it has all that. So that it kind of like, it introduced me to all the special features that they started putting out on DVDs. But going through that, it's kind of like I fell back in love with the film again, because, you know, you watch it and then you watch it with the commentary and then you watch the extra. And then, you know, so it was like this couple of week period where it seems like I watched it like 10 times, you know. But yeah, so I definitely, like I said, the drive-in, I have specific memories of laying in the back. My dad had an old Blazer. Remember the kind where the top came all the way off the back and off the cab? And he had carpeted the back, you know, and so we had these giant pillows, and we would go to the drive-in and back in and just lay back there on that carpet or whatever. So, yeah, I definitely remember seeing it there for sure.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we had a few drive-ins around here, but I don't remember that many movies when I was a kid going. We go quite a bit now.
Do you?
Yeah, even before we had kids, but now with kids. We try to get out there at least once or twice a summer with the kids, and last year they had a Back to the Future marathon going on.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, I missed it, but it would have been cool to go. Oh, man.
Now, I will say a couple things. One thing I know you guys both mentioned just now that you have more memories of the cartoons or whatever. I don't ever remember watching either of the cartoons when I was a kid. For some reason, I don't know if it was a channel we didn't get or if it just didn't interest me at that point, but I never watched the cartoons when I was a kid. And also, I know there were a lot of action figures and toys and play sets and stuff, but I didn't have any of that stuff when I was a kid either. I probably didn't have any room. All my shelves are filled with Star Wars stuff, so didn't have no room. And, you know, I was afraid the Ghostbusters might get rid of Obi-Wan. capture him in the thing there or whatever. So, but no, I didn't have, I wasn't really into like the whole, I was into the movie. You know, I mean, I liked the movie, but I wasn't into all the extra stuff, I guess.
Right, yeah. And you know what? I really wasn't into the cartoon either. It's just if I, you know, if you would have asked me 4 months ago, oh, do you remember the Ghostbusters? I probably would have had the real Ghostbusters cartoon in my head more so than the movie. Hmm. Just because I remember sitting around the house, you know, Saturday morning cartoons and it being on. But even that, I mean, it wasn't a big thing for me. You know, it wouldn't be one of my top picks in cartoons. And watching some this week, it still wouldn't be. But why don't we'll save that to the end where we cover all our one-offs and remake section type stuff.
What I was thinking when I was watching this, because I haven't seen it in a long time, is that, you know, like when I was growing up, you know, everybody knew about the Ghostbusters, but this movie isn't really for kids. It's, you know, I mean, kids can watch it, but there's a lot of humor that's, I mean, it just seems like the movie's more for adults, but for some reason, like, kids just ate it up. And it's sort of like, it's kind of like Rambo. Like, Rambo was not for kids. You know, it's an action movie, but
we all saw it as a kid.
Yeah. And it's crazy. It's like, wait a minute. Cause now I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, I don't know if my kids should watch this part or this part. And I'm like,
yeah.
But when I was growing up, it's like everybody knew about Ghostbusters and Rambo and all these movies. And now I'm watching them, I'm like, what's going on?
It's funny. Yeah, I think kids tune in, you know, obviously to different layers, you know, the humor or whatever. But also, like when I asked my daughter, we watched Ghostbusters last week and then I watched it again earlier today, actually. But when I asked her, you know, I was like, and my daughter's 8. I said, well, what was it about? She's like, oh, it's these guys that go and they fight a giant marshmallow guy. I mean, that's really, you know, what she took away from the film. And now as an adult, you know, you have all these different layers. You have, you know, them, you know, fighting with the EPA. You have them trying to launch their own business after they got, which is stuff that I think kids just gloss over and they hang on to the action parts.
Yeah.
I mean, even just the language in the movie, it wasn't horrible, but there was times where I was kind of like, oh, like today, my daughter, I took her to gymnastics, and while she was in there, normally I go to my mother's and visit, but I was like, I gotta take some show notes. I haven't had a good chance to actually sit down and just watch it solid. So I was like, I stayed in the van and was watching in there in a DVD player and taking some notes. And when we were on the way home, it was just ending, and there was a part where I had to kind of turn the volume down because I was just like, oh my gosh. Every once in a while, they would say something that I just didn't want her to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just think that, and we've discussed this before, you know, when we were kids in the 80s, it was just the TV, I think, was more free. We had more freedom with it.
I would say Ghostbusters was mild when we were kids. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, yeah, and like Christopher said, compared to like Rambo, but we all saw Rambo as kids. I remember going to see Rambo 2 with my mom. You know, so.
Well, think about all the, like, I have a Rambo lunchbox, and I remember kids having that, you know, and then you're like, oh, Rambo lunchbox. You go home, and then you know, you would rent it, and then you see the part where he's like, you know, is getting tortured or whatever. You're like, yeah.
Well, they had Rambo toys. I had a Rambo, like, big machine gun, like, an M60 or something that he had, and the big survival knife, yeah. A plastic one. And then I had a real one.
But everybody had, the real one. They had the compass and the matches and all that. Yeah, I have two of them.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I still have a couple.
And then they made a cartoon.
Yeah.
That's right.
Crazy.
I was not allowed to have the knife. I did have the big plastic poncho.
Yeah.
I got to wear a rope around, you know.
that was your raincoat for school.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I just had duct tape.
Yeah. So, in this movie, we have some repeat actors from previous episodes that we've done. We've got Bill Murray as Dr. Peter Venkman. I think this is the first time. No, this is the second time we've had Bill Murray.
Caddyshack, right?
Caddyshack. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Dan Aykroyd is Ray Stantz. We had him in the episode 16, Great Outdoors, and 26 that we just did, the Blues Brothers. We had Sigourney Weaver as Dana Barrett.
And we had him in Blues Brothers also, Dan Aykroyd.
That's what I just said. Yeah, I said 26.
Oh, Blues Brothers, Great Outdoors.
Great Outdoors, Blues Brothers.
I thought he was a four-peat now for some reason.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
But...
Oh, that's right, because three in a row for him, right? Or three?
It was three ups. Yeah, at first I thought three in a row, but it was just three total.
Yeah, we're gonna have to rename this to be like the Aykroyd cast or something.
Yeah,
we'll just do Aykroyd.
And for me, this is my favorite movie of that he's in
of all those. Yeah,
yeah. Also, we had Harold Ramis, who played Egon, and Aykroyd and Ramis they wrote this, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And directed by Ivan Reitman. Also, we had Ernie Hudson, who I didn't know of anything else than this. He played Winston Zeddemore, which was my daughter's favorite. She loves Winston. Rick Moranis as Lewis Tully. I would say between Venkman and Lewis, my favorite characters in this movie, in this first original Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. Annie Potts is Janine Melnitz, and William Atherton, which we've had, is Walter Peck. He was in episode 20 that we did, Real Genius, and playing the exact type of... Oh, actually, and he was in... I believe he was in Die Hard, correct?
Oh, yeah. You did Die Hard before I came on the show. That's right.
Yeah, I think he's in Die Hard, too. So this is actually his third appearance for us as well. And he played a great role in this. He is great at playing that just...
slime ball.
Yeah. Yeah. you nailed it. You nailed it. And we also, as Rob had mentioned in the notes, we had our honorary mentions, Slimer and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
You know what? I put that in there because, I mean, obviously, I mean, they were definitely marketable characters to kids. I mean, and if you go look at the toys and stuff that are out there and you know, even the... you could even put the ghost from the logo as well. I mean, because that's the stuff, you know, that you saw and stuff. I did find some interesting things about people that were going to be in the movie. And I don't know if you saw any of this, but Bill Murray, his character, Venkman, was actually offered to both Chevy Chase and Michael Keaton. And they both turned the role down before it went to Bill Murray. I don't know why. Also, Ernie Hudson's character, Zeddemore, was actually written for Eddie Murphy. And in the original script, he was there the entire time. And then when Eddie Murphy didn't take the part, they wrote Ernie Hudson's part. They made it much smaller to where he came in later in the movie.
I just want to mention right there, I'm glad you brought that up because I had read about that as well. And I'm glad that he wasn't in this.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. Because you can have four alpha males. That's what I thought. I mean, I thought he would take over, you know?
Well, I think it would have been more. I think it would have been two. I think it would have been him and Bill Murray kind of fighting for that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Aykroyd and Ramis played great kind of setback roles.
Yeah.
But I think Bill Murray and Eddie Murphy would have just, I think it would have been just too much. And I like Eddie Murphy, but I just, I'm really glad that it worked out the way it did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the other one that was, I thought was very interesting was John Candy. And John Candy actually was Louis Tully. Rick Moranis's role, and I guess they actually did some filming with John Candy.
Really?
And yeah, and he actually had all these like kind of odd ideas that he had brought to the character. I read that he wanted Louis Tully to have a German accent, and that he was going to have two small dogs that he carried around with him, and just some weird things that he wanted. And you know, Ivan Reitman was like, well, one thing, he shot down the dog thing because he said, you know, later on we have these demon type animals that look like dogs, so we don't want to have more dogs in the movie and all this stuff. And
you're not allowed, and they weren't allowed to have dogs in the building anyways.
Right. Yeah. There are no animals. Right. So, yeah. And maybe that was added in later as a, that would be funny if they put that in as a
slap in a face.
Yeah. But,
I think that's another one though that worked out.
I do too, because I mean, Rick Moranis in this role. And you know what I thought, what I took away from this cast was, what great actors. Like if you think about, well, like who we said, Dan Aykroyd, who we had on multiple episodes. If you think of the character he played in The Great Outdoors, where he's like this boisterous, snarky guy from Chicago, you know, the wheeling dealing kind of guy or whatever, and then compare that to this character, and then compared to the Blues Brothers, I mean, they're all over the place. And in all those characters, I can see Dan Aykroyd as that person, you know, what I mean? And so that's who I thought, I mean, specifically Dan Aykroyd I saw in this, but you know, Bill Murray, I thought he was kind of playing Bill Murray, you know, but
I thought he was just fabulous in that, in this movie.
Right,
he was great.
Don't you get the idea, like, if you were hanging out with Bill Murray, that's how he would be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Nicole, and she was saying that she had read a couple things about how he's kind of just does weird things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she was saying, like, and you don't know what's true, what's not, but she had read that he had, at one point, had gone to some bar in New York City or something and just kind of went behind the bar and started just serving drinks, and people would order a beer and he would serve them a certain drink, and that's, they could order whatever they wanted, and he would always serve this certain drink. And she said another one was that he came up and it came up to somebody and hugged him or something like that. I don't know. And said, nobody will ever believe you or something like that to this person. But I've heard also, not just from her, but I don't know, some other podcast or something, that he will do kind of weird, quirky things like that. But yeah, I thought he was awesome in this role.
Yeah,
he's so witty, man.
But yeah, super good. Oh, and the other thing that I read is when Dan Aykroyd was working on the script, and of course the script, it's one of those that changed greatly between just like the Blues Brothers, from when he wrote the script to what we actually see on screen. Actually, the original script, everything took place in the future, and then when they went to go try to get a loan, they were like, yeah, we can't afford, you know, to make Futureville for the Ghostbusters or whatever. So that got shut down.
What was the budget on this film? Do you know?
Yeah, it was $30 million is what they got. And in theaters, it grossed almost 10 times that. It grossed $290 million, just in theaters. And that's before you start figuring in, that every third kid at my school had a Ghostbusters shirt or lunchbox or whatever. So, yeah,
DVD launches.
Absolutely. They made a killing off this movie. But when Aykroyd was working on the script, he actually wrote Venkman's part for John Belushi. And, you know, this script, you know, he worked on this for several years. And while he was working on it is when John Belushi died. So that was, you know, is what it was. But I don't know. The same. It's hard for me to see other people. I mean, because this cast just seemed to gel so well together, you know, that it's hard for me to see other people as those characters.
Yeah. No, you're right. And that's how I felt. Like, I couldn't imagine John Candy in this movie, which I'm sure he would have been great. But I don't know. I think Rick Moranis was, like I said, between him and Venkman, my favorite characters. He played that guy so well in this movie. And we will get into the Ghostbusters 2 in a little bit, how I feel about that movie. But
are we doing that in 2 weeks?
No, we're just not doing it.
Oh, no.
Anything you want to say about Ghostbusters 2 is going to have to be said tonight.
All right, good.
Because I don't think we'll be revisiting this.
I'm going to filibuster. I'll just talk about it for like hours.
Right. Well, why don't we talk about some of the some of our key scenes in this this movie? I mean, I know for me, just right off the bat, when you see how Venkman is at the university, he's doing the what the heck was he doing? Where he's got the cards,
the ESP cards, yeah,
yeah, okay, the ESP cards, yeah. and the guy, there's a guy and the girl who looked very very familiar, and I didn't look her up on IMDb, but she looks super super familiar. You know, well, actually, when they show the room, there's like writing on the door, I think, like, go to hell, Venkman.
Yeah,
right.
So obviously this ploy, you know, he's done this before where he's basically she would ask or say the card is a square and it's a circle. But he'd be like, oh, yeah, you got it. And he keeps zapping this poor guy, you know, and I'm just like, this guy is incredible. He so wants to get with this girl that he's like shocking this guy, and the way he's looking at her like, I don't know. I thought that part was great. It was a great setup for his character.
Right. And even when the guy guesses one of the cards right or whatever, he shocks him anyway. Yeah, that's a great scene.
Yeah, yeah, that guy was pretty funny. He spit out his gum.
Right. Then at the end when he walks off, he's like, what does he say?
$5.
Yeah, keep your $5. So he's like volunteering for this thing to get shocked repeatedly for $5.
Yeah. I mean, that guy didn't seem... I don't think I've ever seen him before, but the girl, did you recognize her from anything or no?
I didn't, but I'll see if I can track her down while we're talking.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's like peppered amongst 80s flicks or something like
that.
Could
be, sure.
She looked real familiar. But what about you guys, Chris? You got any scenes that really stood out to you?
Well, like you said earlier, Bill Murray's character is really funny. I like all his one-liners. One thing that really one of the first things I wrote down in my notes is that when they're in the library and the Ghostbusters go down there and they see how the ghost is like throwing all those cards out of that card catalog and they're flying in the air. And the only thing I could think of was like, man, that really sucks for the librarian to have to put all that stuff back because they're all mixed up. They're not in. Oh, man. And then when they stacked all those books up, I was like, you know, again, that really sucks for the librarian, but I was thinking, you know, that'd be a really funny trick to play, like at a library, to go and like take all the books and stack them up in the middle of the aisle and then just leave.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I would do that, but I was like, man, that's crazy. That really sucks for the librarian, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean and the librarian, we've seen her in a ton of stuff too, and yeah, I just felt bad for her. I definitely felt bad for that old lady, man.
Yeah.
So, Sean, your girl, her name is Jennifer Runyon. She was born in 1960, and it looks like she basically dropped out of acting in 93. She was in Carnosaur, which, if you've never seen Carnosaur, is actually a great movie with a puppet T-Rex. You could catch that sometimes on Sci-Fi. But she probably looks familiar to you because she was on Murder, She Wrote. She's been a couple different characters on Murder, She Wrote. Other than that...
Maybe that's where I've recognized her from.
It also says... Now, this is interesting. In the 1988 TV movie, she was Cindy Brady in A Very Brady Christmas.
Really? Damn, I missed that one.
Yep. Who's the Boss? Charles in Charge? Magnum P.I.? It kind of looks like one of these classic 80s
jump
actresses.
Around to this and that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, nothing that really sticks out. The Fall Guy?
Kind of like the lady who played the Penguin in the Blues Brothers. How we
that's right.
Talked
yeah.
about her. She kind of was here, there, did this, did that. So,
yep.
All right. Yeah, and you know the hotel scene was great. When the first encounter Slimer, which he's not named Slimer in this movie at all, is he?
No.
That's like that came later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the cartoon, I think that's where that came. Maybe, or I don't know, maybe it was in two, but can't remember two. But yeah, that I mean, they were just so disregarding the hotel, like everything in the hotel, especially when they're in the actual ballroom where we first, I think that's where we first get the Don't Cross the Streams.
Yes.
Quote,
yeah.
Is in that scene. But yeah, that scene and the, the guy that's in charge of the hotel, he's just out there, and everyone can hear all the banging around and everything. So that scene was
$1,000. I had no idea it'd be that much. I won't pay it.
Yeah, it was $5,000. It was like $4,000. Yeah, plus $5,000, I think, for containment or something like that. And they're like, all right, fine, don't pay it. We'll just set it back out there.
Yeah, it's almost better if they had just left the ghost alone and not called the Ghostbusters. They just they tore that place up.
Do you think this movie, I mean, because now, I mean, geez, there's this para horror thing and, you know, ghost hunters and all that. Like, do you think this movie for those people that do it now, like it was something for them to, I don't want to say inspired, but they just, I mean, I wonder if you ask these people if Ghostbusters was a big deal in their lives when they were a kid, how many of them would be like, oh God, I love Ghostbusters. Because I mean, this is everywhere now.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was just going to say, I bet it's kind of one of those things where it brought ghosts out into like the public eye. So it made it more, you know, like you could talk about it more easily. You know, I don't know if I can't say that it would inspire them or not. But for me, I mean, it, you know, all of a sudden there's a movie full of ghosts as a kid. And it's like, oh, okay. So there's ghosts and you talk about ghosts now and it just seems like it makes it more, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah, and it kind of plants the seed that, I mean, in the movie, these guys make a living by being Ghostbusters. I mean, by going out and investigating or capturing ghosts or whatever. So you never know. As a young person, you might say, hey, you know, I wonder if you could do that in real life, if you could really make a living, you know. And they do show, there's a scene where Venkman goes into Dana's apartment and he's got the wand, he's waving it around, you know, and she's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I don't really know, this is one of our toys or whatever. And I think that all the time when I see these ghost hunter type TV shows and they're like, yeah, they've got their little recorder and they're like, you see this or whatever, and it lights up and he's like, uh-huh. And I go, you don't know what that does, you know, that's probably like the low battery warning or something, just some light flashing, you know. They're like, yep, that means there's a ghost.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. And that was a great scene too, how he comes on to her. I mean, she played that the way she played the character of him. She's just like, oh come on, where he's like, I'm in love with you or something. She's like, really? I mean, this lady just had a demon or a ghost in her refrigerator. She had eggs frying on her counter, and here's this this guy who really is the only person she has to turn to help her. And you know, of all the ghosts, the three Ghostbusters, he's the one that goes over there, and
right,
all he can
right.
think about is getting in her pants.
Right.
And you know, she just dealt with this.
What do you think of Sigourney Weaver in this movie?
She was hot.
Didn't you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, you got because you've got like for 80s kids, and I'm going off the cuff here. You've got Aliens, Sigourney Weaver, right? I mean, you've got like Tough Ripley with her tank top or whatever. And then you've got, what other Sigourney Weavers do you have?
Gorillas in the Mist.
Girls in the Mist, Sigourney Weaver. You've got later on Galaxy Quest, Sigourney Weaver, where she's like, you know, but I mean, this is hot Sigourney Weaver. I mean, I can't think of a role I liked her in better.
Yeah. And, but let me put it this way, like a couple weeks ago, we did a episode with Doug. Well, it was more than a couple weeks ago. I think it was Real Genius that we were talking about 80s fashion and, like bringing the 80s fashion back for girls. And I kind of was like, I don't know about the big, no, she brought it back this week.
I was
definitely impressed, man. And I never looked at her that way before, but
when you go out, like with your wife, you're like, you know what, if you could make your bangs a little taller,
can you put more eyeshadow on, please?
Those pants would be awesome if they were puffier.
Yeah, no, I was totally digging Sigourney Weaver, and I never had before. So, yeah, it was good. But I think I read somewhere too, or I read on Wikipedia that is actually an instrument where he was kind of doing the squeeze thing in her apartment. That it's like, I think it was some kind of utility for one of the utility company. I don't know if it was a gas company to check for leaks or something like that.
But it's
an actual, it was like an actual tool.
Yeah.
But what it exactly was for, I don't know. But it wasn't just like, hey, we got a hand pump, we have a hose. Let's just put something together,
right?
Yeah, it was obvious it was an actual tool used for something.
What you mentioned back at the hotel where they wanted to charge the guy $5,000 and he didn't want to pay it. And they said, well, we'll just put him back. In the cartoon, that actually happens a couple times. You know, I've only seen the first 30 episodes, but I think it happens twice where they run into somebody who doesn't want to pay. And they do the same thing in the cartoon. They say, well, you know, if you don't want to pay, we'll just put them back. And in one case, there's a guy who's trying to rip off one of the Ghostbusters aunts or something. He's like a fake kind of charlatan. He does like seances or something. And and at the end, they end up catching a whole bunch of ghosts, but they let one of them go. And he kind of attaches himself to that guy, and when that guy leaves, that ghost goes with him. So it's kind of funny that they carried that over into the cartoon a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you would think after a while they would get smart and start taking payment up front.
Yeah.
You know, after they're like, this keeps happening to us.
Yeah, because actually, in one of the cartoons, I think they kind of tear it up just like in the movie, and the guy's like, well, you know, you got to pay for all this. And they're like, okay, you know, we'll pay you $5,000, but we're going to let this ghost go. And he's like, okay, so then we'll just call it even, you know. So they kind of do that too. So that's pretty neat that they kind of thought some of that through.
Yeah.
Well, and you talk about like how it just takes off, because in the beginning, I mean, they have no money. They're kicked out of the college because they're not doing anything, and they say Venkman is like the worst scientist or whatever.
Right.
And so then what is it, Ray, who has to like put a third mortgage on his home, yeah, or something like that, to buy or to rent or buy, I don't even know if they rent or bought the fire hall, and they're just like sitting around, and until they get the call from the hotel room, I mean, that's where it takes off. They go there, right. And, you know, we get the famous line, we came, we saw, we kicked his ass.
And you know what's funny about that is I actually paused to see where that was. When they get there, when Sigourney Weaver, when Dana sees the commercial that they're the Ghostbusters or whatever, that's almost 20 minutes into the movie. So the first 20 minutes of this movie, they're not even Ghostbusters yet. You know, I forgot how much of this movie is the setup to when they become the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. 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 And that always made me wonder too. It's like, so, you know, they kind of sit around till they go and get Slimer. Well, weren't there a lot of ghosts before that? Or, you know, did they all just start showing up, or, you know, what happened? Like,
well, isn't that what it is, though? They are kind of just starting to come out now, or because of everything that's going on at where the building where she lives, or?
Yeah, it's like what do they say? It's like an antenna or a magnifying, like a focal point or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like almost like that's everything is kind of stirring now. Because they say, the guy even said at the hotel, like, we've known about, you know, the all the workers have known about this, you know, fifth floor or whatever thing, but we haven't heard anything about it for a while or something. Hasn't bothered anybody. But now everything seems to be kind of stirring because, you know what, Gozer's coming.
That makes sense. That could explain more, too, in the second one, why they kind of out of work a little bit, besides, you know, being sued. But there's,
right, they busted all the ghosts.
They're all gone.
Did their job a little too good. And go ahead, Sean.
Well, I was just going to say, when it all takes off, and when she sees them on the news and everything, she sees, okay, now these guys are becoming, I guess, I don't know if legit, but they're becoming pretty popular. They're getting some work. That whole montage part. And when Christopher was talking earlier about, you know, stuff we would watch and with your kids, this is where this is where I had some issues with the movie, where I was like, oh,
yeah,
you know, because you're right. I think this was marketed towards kids, or, you know, and I was just like, wow, because you got that whole montage, it's fine, and then there's Dan Aykroyd dreaming, and the ghost, the spirit, like, comes and undoes his pants, you see his belt go up and everything, and Aykroyd's face was great.
You know, actually Sean Robert over at Branded in the 80s, mm-hmm, this past week or two, he was talking about movie novelizations and how they're different than the movies. And he actually talked about Ghostbusters, how that scene, it was like a longer scene where, who was it? Ray kind of starts to feel bad about them trapping the ghosts. And he wonders if some of them are good ghosts. And then that's what happens with that ghost, kind of shows up and, you know, does what it does. And so there's like a whole little subplot with Ray, like feeling bad for these ghosts. And the one comes and shows them that they're not all bad, but.
Oh, so in the novel, it's not a dream then.
I don't know if it was a dream or not, but it was all kind of tied together, but they cut all that out and they left that little part in there. So when you watch it, you're kind of like, what the heck?
Yeah. Cause it is definitely a kind of a jar. It doesn't fit with the rest of the stuff that's going on,
right?
For sure.
It was just thrown in there.
Right.
Yeah. I was the same way. I was watching with my daughter and then that came on. I'm like, what the heck is this? You know? And, luckily, you know, it was over in like 2 seconds or whatever. And she was,
yeah.
But I was like, that is not fit very well.
Yeah. And that was one of those scenes where, you're kind of like, oh shit, do I cover their eyes? Do I say, or is it something that's just going to kind of go over their head unnoticed?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happened here. Nobody really, as I'm sitting there sweating and I got knots in my stomach, I'm like, oh God, for the first time while it was happening. And I was just like, what the heck? Same thing. I was like, so that was the only scene that I really had issue with. I mean, the language really wasn't that bad. I mean, they'd say a couple things, but, I don't know. That was the part that made me uncomfortable. It wasn't something that I would not let my kids not watch it because of it. Because I don't think at this age it even really, I think it just went over their head.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, as an adult watching this now, I didn't remember that scene from before. So as a kid, obviously it must have just, you know, gone in one proverbial ear and out the other. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Because I didn't even remember it.
I don't understand why they didn't just cut it all together, since they cut out everything that would make any sense. Why they would even leave that in there, except for just a you know, just a little
awe factor, you know, the shock and awe or something.
Because it doesn't fit with anything.
No, it doesn't. It was absolutely unneeded. It's all news clips or just showing them going here or, it didn't need to be in there, but it's showing it how. Well, the rest of the montage is showing it how popular and how big and their business and everyone knows who they are. And they're just constantly working. They're tired, which is why they bring on Winston.
Yeah.
They need more help. There's too much going on.
And, you know, one thing they don't really touch in the movie, but when I was watching it today that I thought about is, can you imagine something happening like that in the world where it basically changes our entire perception? Because, I mean, at this point now, everybody thinks that ghosts are real. It's, you know, at the very beginning, they're like, we're the Ghostbusters. And people are like, you know, they say, oh, well, we're going to go investigate this haunting at a library. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. That's not real. But I mean, by the time when ghosts are showing up and on the news and people are seeing them flying around the city, I mean, everybody knows at this point that ghosts are real in the movie, you know? So it's like this whole, it would be like if, you know, like if Bigfoot just walked down the middle of New York City and everybody's like, holy crap, there's really a Bigfoot. You know, I mean, something that would just change everything that we know.
Right.
Yeah, there was no skeptics.
Right, not at that point. I mean, all of a sudden ghosts appear. We see Larry King.
you've got your rodent control people and you've got your Ghostbusters.
Right.
You know, which that was a funny scene when he said that he has cockroaches and he's like that old guy. He's like, he must be one big cockroach or one heck of a cockroach. But because of all this, you know, popularity that's going on and publicity and everything, which then gets the attention of Walter Peck, who is the head of, I don't know if he's the head of the EPA, but he works for the EPA, and he's got a definite bone to pick with Venkman, because when he goes to the fire hall, Venkman is like, no, you're not gonna look at it. He's busting his balls, so he gets ticked off and so now Peck has got it out for him. And later on is when chaos just completely, everything's going great. They're getting all these ghosts. Everyone loves the Ghostbusters. And then we have the scene where Walter Peck comes to the fire hall with, I don't know, it's like two or three cop cars or something. Like all these cars kind of pull up all serious. And do you remember that scene where they kind of pull up sideways in the middle of the street, like
blocking the whole street?
yeah. Like there's a burglary going. No, they would park across the street, pay the meter or whatever, park in the garage and walk over. So that was pretty funny, that scene. But, you know, when Walter makes him shut down the power, has the power guy turn off the power to the containment where they're storing all the ghosts. I mean, that's when everything just gets crazy. Now, at that point, did she turn into Zool?
I think it's around that time, but I don't think it's yet, because whenever Venkman discovers that she's Zool, they call and they've already picked up Sully. Right. Yeah. They've already picked him up, remember, because he's like, hey, I've got the key master. They're like, oh, well, we've got the gatekeeper.
You know?
So it must be right after that.
You know what? Let's talk about him, because I he was one of my favorite characters before we jump to the ending of this. He's like this quirky guy. He's a financial guy. I love the fact that he has this party. Well, anytime that Dana comes home to the apartment, because he lives like a few doors down, she's always like walking on pins and needles, hoping because he obviously is always watching for her,
right.
and will come out when she comes, and you can just see it on her face, like, oh man. And he's having a party, and she says, oh, I have a date, which is with Venkman. And at the party that night, he is introducing everybody, and he's saying how he got all this food at he only paid this much at cost because he's having this party with all of his clients. They're not guests, like friends. It's a business party, so everything's a write off, and right. So he's introducing everybody, and he's dancing with who I found out was the tall blonde that he was dancing with is Casey Kasem's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was funny because she was going to split, and he's like, come on, let's dance.
Yeah, I like how he introduced that one couple, and he was like, oh yeah, they got a business, and they're he starts telling them about like their taxes or whatever, and like, yeah, so they're doing really good.
He's living on a deferred retirement or something right. like that.
Well, one thing I did, I think this is on the IMDb trivia, is that the whole party scene was 100% unscripted.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was all impromptu or whatever. So they just turned the cameras and basically let them, him throw a party. So all the dialogue that they came up with was just, whatever he was. I mean, I'm sure they shot multiple takes of things or whatever, but yeah, in the script, apparently it just says, he has a party. And so they came up with all that dialogue. And there was a lot of ad-libbing, I guess, throughout the film. I read that a lot of Bill Murray's stuff, most of Bill Murray's lines were ad-libbed. The entire party scene was just, they just apparently turned the cameras on and let him go, which watching it this time made that even more funny to me when he starts talking about the people's taxes and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, and that's when we see the dog that's in the room, or not the dog, but like the demon or whatever. And then when he says, "Is anybody who brought the dog? All right, who brought the dog?" And then it barges out. What'd you think of those that scene when he came busting out, like the graphics for that?
Oh yeah, I mean, you've got some bad stop motion. I mean, it's not bad stop motion. You can tell that it's obviously though that it is stop motion, and like green screen where it's on right, top, yeah. And it's badly cut. And it did make me cringe today. I was like, oh, it just doesn't, the special effects. Some of the special effects are better than others in the movie, but yeah, those definitely don't stand up.
Yeah. That was the worst scene, from barging out into the apartment building, chasing him down the street through,
right.
Through the city. And when he got to the restaurant and he's like, bang, that was great. Cause all of the people were kind of like, stopped, looked over, and then it acted like he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he's backed up to the glass, and as it's approaching him, and then he like drops, but you don't see it. So it was almost like they didn't see it or something. They couldn't see it.
Well, that's what I was wondering, and it didn't make sense because everybody sees the ghosts all over town. I mean, whenever you have the, Slimer, when you have, I think there's some other parts like the Titanic when it shows up.
Well, even when it came out of the bedroom, like everyone obviously saw it banging and crashing. And I think because he's like, somebody brought a leopard to the
party. Oh, there's that old lady that sticks her head out the hallway and sees it and goes back in.
Right.
So obviously people could see the ghost. So I didn't understand why the dinner party people couldn't see it.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. I figured they were just ignoring him. They were like kind of snooty, and they were like, eh,
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was the only one to interpret it that way.
Because I thought, too, well, maybe only he can see the dog. But then I remembered, that the lady stuck her head out, and some other people jumped out of the way, so people can see the dog. But for some reason, all those people, you know, and it just makes you like think of, you know, like New Yorkers or something, you know, it's like, you know, so I don't know if they were trying to say something or not, but.
All right. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one who took it that way. So we have when Walter Peck shuts it down, it's basically then it releases every ghost that they've ever captured is now been released, and they warn them and everything that, you know, they can't do that. And you know, that's when the movie takes a turn.
Yeah. And that's actually, that's when, they never catch Slimer again. So I guess that's when, Slimer kind of gets to stay out after that. Because, after that,
yeah,
they see him. And then in part two, he's just hanging out with them. So I guess they never put him back.
Yeah. He's, right. He's hanging out in like a cupcake box or something. Isn't he in number two? Or something like that.
He's driving a bus.
Yeah. So, so then we get to, you know, more towards the end of the movie. And so that's when we have the Keymaster who meets the gatekeeper, because, what is his name? Vince is when he becomes the Keymaster.
Yeah, I forgot what it was. Like, I'm Vince, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I can't remember. Christopher, you remember? Or?
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
He does the whole little speech where he's talking to the horse.
Yeah, that scene was really funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of weak when he was actually at the fire hall and he's like, do you want a cup of coffee? And he's like, do I want a cup of coffee? Yeah, you want a cup? Oh, yeah, I want a cup of coffee. That scene was kind of... And then when they turn off the power and everything happens, we have the explosion. That's when he escapes from the fire hall and goes and hooks up with Dana or Zool, the gatekeeper. And then we get the all the Ghostbusters that go there. We have the whole interaction with Gozer that comes. And then the funny part that everybody knows, my son even knew about it without seeing the movie. All he kept saying is, when do we see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the scene that we get with that.
Sean, I wanted to point something out, and maybe it's because I've never watched this movie I'm watching it, you know, on a big giant flat screen TV. So maybe I don't know why I never noticed this before, but in the scene where remember the eggs show up in her apartment and they just start basically
cracking,
sizzling,
and frying,
right?
Yeah,
on her countertop. If you look right next to the eggs is a bag of Stay Puft Marshmallows.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
I never saw that before.
Yeah, I did notice that.
All right, well, maybe it's just me. Maybe you guys have super ghost goggles. I have nothing.
Oh, but, I'm sure I didn't notice it when I was a kid and I watched it, but this time, yeah, I definitely saw that.
Yeah, and in the cartoon, in the, you know, the ones that I've seen, the Stay Puft is makes an appearance in at least two episodes. They show him, so they kind of tie that in too.
Well, he's in the intro, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the intro, but there's one episode I think where everybody's dreams are coming alive and someone's dreaming about him and he's walking down the street. And then there's another episode where I think they show all the ghosts that are in the containment unit. And he's in there, so they kind of pay tribute to him and show him that yeah, this is after the movie.
I just knew because I know my son was like, is a Stay Puft in the cartoon? I'm like, I don't think so. And then the intro's on, I'm like, I guess he is. I guess he is in the cartoon because we watched a couple this weekend.
Yeah, there's a couple tie-ins. One, they mention about how they first meet Slimer and Peter. When he first met him, he got slimed, like in the movie. So they talk about that. And then there's also an episode, like in the cartoon, all their uniforms are different colors, and they actually have an episode that explains why their the uniforms are all different. And in that episode, it takes place like it's like a flashback, and it takes place right after the movie. And they have all their uniforms, and they're covered in that like marshmallow ectoplasm. And Peter's supposed to like burn them or something, but he forgets, and the costumes come alive, and they turn into ghosts or whatever. But because they got slimed and they were going to burn them, they had to get new ones, and so they all have different colors now, and so that's how they.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Some of the episodes are pretty sharp.
Man, you really you're into that cartoon, huh?
Well, you know the funny thing is, like, I remember watching it as a kid, but it wasn't like. I just remember watching it. It wasn't my favorite. I don't remember anything about it. And then you know, maybe 2 years ago at Big Lots, they had the first volume on sale for like $10. And I was like, you know what? I may give this a shot. And I bought it. And I never watched them, but I'd put them on for my kids, and they kind of got hooked on them for a couple months. And I would see bits and pieces of them, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. This is pretty neat, you know? And then when I did all that Ghostbusters artwork, I actually sat down and watched all 30 episodes, and I was like, this is a really cool cartoon. Like, I really like it. I like it way more than I like the movie now. So it's kind of,
really?
Yeah, it's almost like a 180. I used to, you know, kind of dig the movie, didn't really remember the cartoon. And now, man, I love the cartoon. I want to watch the rest of them.
Well, that's great, man. I definitely want to check them out some more. My youngest boy and my daughter liked them. My older son didn't really care for them, but the younger two liked them. So I was happy. That just means I can sit and watch old stuff with them.
Yeah,
from when we were kids, it gives me an excuse.
In the movie, Egon talks about, he mentions it twice in the movie about reading the Torben's spirit guide, or and in the cartoon they mention that as well. So they keep that kind of theme going.
Well, we'll wrap up the actual movie part now, and then we'll move on to like the cartoons and maybe the sequel to this movie. We have the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and that's where they at the end of the movie the only option they have is to cross the streams, basically, right? To end the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
I thought crossing the streams was bad.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think most people have seen it, so we're not ruining anything with the Ghostbusters here. But because of time, we do want to talk about some of the other stuff. First off, going into, we had, what was it? What year was it? 1988? Or was it 89 when the sequel came out? Ghostbusters 2, 89.
89, yeah.
89, yep.
Which basically had the same original cast. Now, the governor, I think it was, or the mayor of New York, is like, look, tells Walter Peck in Ghostbusters at the end, get him out of here. These guys are going to do it, because Venkman says, look, man, if we are wrong, we go to jail. We don't make any noise. But if we're right, you've saved thousands of voters. And the mayor's like, all right. So they do all this. And then next thing we know, like, they had been sued by the state or by the city. And I don't know. That just didn't, it just didn't make sense to me. I didn't like that, how that transitioned to where they're doing parties.
Yeah. When I saw it, when it first came out, I didn't like that at all. Cause I thought, you know, hey, people would know that they were heroes. But watching it now, like, I kind of like that they had the guts to kind of to do that instead of just making them, you know, maybe business was slow or they were out of work, but to actually have everybody sue them and then have a court order that they can't touch their gear. It kind of played with the, you know, the lady that got burned at McDonald's and sued McDonald's because she spilled coffee, you know, and. There's this time when everybody was kind of like sue happy, and I don't know if this came out at that time or not, but yeah, when I first saw it, that I didn't like that at all. But now, it still wouldn't be my favorite idea, but I think it's kind of interesting.
Well, I know what you're saying. If reality wise, you're right. It's like people get sue happy. And that probably was the high time of that. But I don't know. The movie in general, I just did not like this movie at all. I watched it with my kids same weekend that we did our episode that won't air. But we watched it and I didn't influence my kids at all, and they all were just like, Dad, this movie is not good, we don't like this one, we like the first one. I didn't like the acting in it, even Bill Murray. I just didn't like any of the acting in the movie. I felt like it was all just forced. I thought that Rick Moranis' character went from, I totally loved his character the way he was, to I couldn't stand him. You know, in the whole relationship he had with Annie Potts as Janine.
Oh yeah.
Which I thought they were kind of going where it would be like Janine and Egon seemed to have some sort of connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden these two are like, you know, going at it with their hair all crazy, and Sigourney Weaver comes back to the, I don't know. I just, I wasn't feeling this movie. How about you, Rob?
Ghostbusters 2. I like Ghostbusters 2. I think it's it's definitely not written for adults like Ghostbusters the original was. I think at that point, you've created a machine. You know what I mean? I mean, you've got a marketing thing. You're selling, millions of lunch boxes at that point. So and your target audience is, young kids at that point. So that to me, that's more who the movie is. It's kind of everything's simplified. Like you're like, oh, there's this ooze and the ooze and everybody is mad. So the ooze is making bad things happen. But if we're all happy, it's kind of oversimplified, but I like it. I think you got to put the two theme songs together. You had your questions for Sean or for Chris. So the question for you, are you original? Are you Ray Parker Jr. Ghostbusters or are you Bobby Brown?
Definitely Ray Parker.
Good answer.
And of course, Bobby Brown's got to have his cameo in there too.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I don't know, man. I just, I loved Ghostbusters, but Ghostbusters 2, I can honestly say I'll never watch that again.
Oh, harsh.
Yeah, I really just didn't. I just really didn't like it. I love Ghostbusters, and I just thought it was one of those movies that just leave it. Just leave it the way it was. You don't have to go on. Like, I know there's been talks of like a third one to come out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want a third one to come out.
Well, I know that from what I read, the script was done a while back, and I think they keep retouching. And the problem with number three is Bill Murray. From what I understand, he's the holdout. He does not want to do Ghostbusters 3. And so they've written scripts and then they edit him out, put him in or whatever. There was a script floating around, parts of the script floating around on the internet for a while where Ghostbusters 3 was about how they actually go to hell and they like fight like ghosts and stuff in hell. There was that. And,
I don't even think, from what I heard, it didn't even seem like he really wanted to do 2. Or yeah. At least wasn't very proud of it. I know, our friend the Retroist did a Ghostbusters episode, and he even plays a clip of Bill Murray when he was on the David Letterman, and Letterman says, "Oh yeah, it was like how many years ago?" And you did a ghost. There was a Ghostbuster too, right? And he's like, "Yeah, kind of," or something like that, to where he's just like he knows it's crap himself,
right? So yeah, I think Bill Murray is definitely he's at a point in his career where he can do the roles that he wants to do.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. The last pitch of a script that I heard anything about was the Ghostbusters would be turning their business over to the next generation of Ghostbusters, which is what they do when actors get old. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not going to have guys in their 50s and 60s sliding down the fireman pole anymore.
And that's and that's when you just end the franchise.
Right. Right. So I don't know if they'll do it.
What about you, Christopher? Would you want to see a third?
A third? Well, I have just recently found out that there was a Ghostbusters cartoon in like 1997 called Extreme Ghostbusters. And in that one, it takes up right after, I guess, Ghostbusters 2. I mean, in sequence. And the Ghostbusters are disbanded. And Egon, I guess, is a teacher and he's got some students. And he ends up teaching these students to how to be like Ghostbusters. I guess ghosts start showing up again or something. I haven't seen it, but that's like the synopsis. So that sort of is Ghostbusters 3. So if they're going to do that as far as a movie, I mean, it's sort of be like, well, I could watch the cartoon. But, I wouldn't mind seeing a third one, but... I'm sort of like you. I've heard about Bill Murray and how he didn't want to really do the second one, and so I wouldn't really want him to be in the third one unless he really wanted to be in it. I wouldn't want him to just like get everybody back together and do like an Indiana Jones 4. I'd rather
right, just going through the motions. Yeah.
I'd rather either do it because you want to or just leave it. And as mm-hmm. far as like the second one. I remember really not liking it, but I haven't seen it since, probably 1989. And I watched it the other night, and I had very, very low expectations. I figured I was going to hate it. But to be honest, even surprising to myself, I really enjoyed it. It wasn't as funny. It had a lot of little funny parts. It had a couple of twists and turns, you know, about them going to the psychiatric ward and stuff. And I thought it was funny. The slime stuff didn't really make sense. And then the Titanic showed up, but there wasn't any slime out in the ocean. So why would the Titanic show up? You know, there's a couple of things that don't, you know, the baby, when the guy comes and steals the baby, but the guy's a ghost, but how did he turn into a ghost? And the baby, how did it get out on the ledge? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that when you think about it, well, actually, you know, this movie really reminds me of like the cartoon, because some of the stuff doesn't really, it's kind of extravagant. It doesn't really make sense. It's, you know, I guess you're not really supposed to think too hard about it. So I thought it was fun. It's not nearly as good as the first one. It's almost like the same thing, like where they've been out of work for 5 years, so there's no ghosts for 5 years, and then this painting shows up, and now all the ghosts show up again, you know, because of the slime. You know, it's kind of, a lot of that stuff doesn't really make a lot of sense. But one neat thing, though, when they go to that party and everybody's yelling, He-Man, He-Man, the mom at that party, I'm pretty sure it's the same mom from the Goonies, who is also the same mom in Monster Squad. So that was really cool, because I'm a big Goonies fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's only in there for a couple seconds, but I'm almost positive that was her. Oh, and then at the beginning, so the baby carriage. So the other thing was, like, the baby carriage at the beginning starts like having a mind of its own. And I'm guessing it's because it ran over that slime. Yeah, so because it shows it running over the slime, and then it starts going crazy, and it starts weaving through traffic. And the funny part is, it starts cutting in front of cars, and that like taxi guy's like honking at it, like
yelling, yeah,
like what's that going to do? So it made no sense, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, and people are just watching it go flying by, and they're just kind of looking.
Yeah, it's like nobody cared that there was this baby carriage, you know, that had a mind of its own, you know.
Yeah. You know what? It could be too, because I kind of came into watching Ghostbusters the same way, very low expectations, and I ended up just loving it, loving the movie. And so I think just watching them back to back this way, it was a big letdown. You know, does that make sense?
Yes. Or, yeah, definitely.
You know, so that could have been it. I mean, I've watched Ghostbusters the past few months. I've watched it a lot, and you know, sometimes it's I'm you know, doing this or I'm doing that. I'm not always sitting down like I'm watching Ghostbusters making popcorn, but I've watched it quite a bit. And today, like I wanted to watch the movie before we did the episode, you know, like get it fresh in my mind. I just didn't have time this weekend. I was really busy with my son's birthday and some stuff going on and the weather. But what I like to do is, and I do this with a lot of movies, is I'll basically throw the movie into Audacity and rip the audio and just listen to movies sometimes when I'm at work. I get tired of podcasts, you know, it's really all I listen to is podcasts. So sometimes like, I just want a break.
Yeah.
So I listened to it today, and I would pick up different things. Like, so with the soundtrack, there was two songs in there that stood out that I couldn't remember from the actual the film. In the Name of Love by Thompson Twins, and this is for the original Ghostbusters film, the soundtrack, and I Can't Wait Forever by Air Supply. And I'm like,
other day
I'm thinking, I don't remember. I have the sound. I got the soundtrack, and I was listening. I'm like, I don't remember seeing those in the movie at all. And until today, when I was listening to it, then it kind of popped out, I guess. Did you guys recognize those at all in the movie?
But I know. Sorry to say, mention Goonies again, but I have the Goonies soundtrack, and it's got a bunch of songs on there too that I'm like, I don't remember any of these in the movie. But then when you go back and watch it, like some of them are playing in the background real quiet, right, or in somebody's car, you know.
And it's funny how that happens. Like these two songs, Thompson Twins in the Name of Love, you can, I think it stands out a little more. And that was basically the scene when they get the call for the hotel, and Janine's like, we got one. Right before she says that, like, they're kind of sitting around talking about how they had, I think Dana had hired them. They only had one client, and you can hear it playing in the background. But the air supply is in the beginning when they basically get kicked out of the college. And as the dean is telling them, you know, you're done, there's a kid that comes in, a student with headphones on, who starts wheeling out a cart. And that's when it plays.
Wow.
So like you're kind of hearing it in the background through this kid's headphones.
Oh, wow.
It's real soft. But I'm like, but it made the soundtrack because you know, it's Air Supply and Thompson Twins. They, you know, big bands in the 80s. So they could kind of, all right, we'll put it in there a little bit, but it's good for the soundtrack.
Yeah, this soundtrack's really good. I like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I'll be honest, I skipped the Air Supply one. I'm not a big Air Supply. But I'm more into the score. Like, I like movie soundtracks, but when I say movie soundtrack, I like more of just like the score of the movie is what I like.
Right. Two other things that kind of stuck out to me. Let's see what you guys thought. When Dana now has a job as cleaning paintings. And it said that, you know, she's only doing this till her baby gets older, and then she wants to go back to the orchestra. But so between the two movies, it's been 5 years. So, you know, she at the most, she's been doing this for 5 years. And it says that she's cleaning a Gauguin painting. And I was like, I don't think, you know, you would be cleaning a Gauguin with only like 5 years experience.
Right
off the street, you know. So that was, I don't know why they would have just left off the I guess they wanted people, you know, to throw out an artist name or something, but that was kind of like, I was like, well, I don't know, but no, it's not a big deal. But then the other thing is, at the very end, they get to Statue of Liberty, they walk to that museum, they smash the roof in, the Statue of Liberty falls down because they show it at the end, it's laying on the ground, and they're heroes again, but the Statue of Liberty's laying on the ground. And that museum is like all tore up. So it's almost like the same ending as the first one. So are they going to get sued again?
Again, you know? Right.
And like, is it
probably
what happens to the Statue of Liberty? Like, they, you know, like, do they have enough slime to get her back? I don't know. It's kind of like, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, they're going to get sued all over. And then, you know, there's part three.
They did not learn their ghost lesson.
Right. So, yeah, I didn't really think about a lot of that. You know, I wrote notes. I didn't really think a lot about how it was almost the same as the first one till today. I was kind of reading a little bit about it. And some of the reviews were like, you know, when it came out, a lot of the critics were saying it's the same thing as the first one. It's just not as good. And I was like, you know, it kind of is almost the same thing. But one funny thing. So I started watching Ghostbusters with my 4.5-year-old son, and he kind of got spooked a little bit. In the middle when all the ghosts start showing up. But so he stopped watching it with me. But I have an iPad that I use at work, and I load it up with games, and I let him play games on it. And I had forgotten that I had put a Ghostbusters game on there, that it was a free game. And I never really played it. But my son saw it on there, and so he's been like playing it. And now what he's been doing the past couple of days is we also have a Nintendo Wii. And we have that remote where you plug in that like joystick thingy. And so it's got the controller and a long cord with like another little joystick.
The nunchuck.
The
thing,
nunchuck.
Right?
Yeah, the nunchuck.
The Wii Chuck. Yeah.
Yeah. So what he's been doing is running around the house and throwing out the remote part and holding on to the nunchuck and acting like it's a containment or whatever it's called. Yeah. At first, I didn't know what he was doing. I was like, you know, why are you throwing that thing around? And he's like, you know, he's trying to tell me he's a Ghostbuster. I'm like, well, that's really cool, you know.
That's cool. Now stop throwing a controller around.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, so now it won't work anymore, but.
But he's having fun.
Yeah.
Well, talking about games, Rob, is there, you want to quickly go over some of maybe the other games that have been put out for other systems?
There are a lot of Ghostbusters games. The original Ghostbusters was out on the old 8-bit systems. That one is actually probably most well known on the Commodore 64 and the Apple II, because that game included, it was one of the first games actually that included speech synthesis. So the game would actually say Ghostbusters like that. And also it had another line. The goal of the game, you had to run around the city and capture ghosts and do all this. And it was kind of like what Chris was just talking about, where you throw the your trap out, and then you have two Ghostbusters, and you have to try to get Slimer, you know, you get, but don't cross the beams or it knocks out your Ghostbusters. But if you set off the trap and you don't get Slimer, he comes down, knocks over one of your Ghostbusters, and then the game says, "He slimed me." So,
oh, nice.
So there's definitely, I mean, that's probably why that's, you know, it's really, really popular game on those systems. There was a Ghostbusters 2 game that was still in that same era, 8-bit consoles, the early NES stuff, some of the computer systems. Then there was the real Ghostbusters, which we talked about, which was on 16-bit consoles like Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, that generation. There was also an arcade version of the real Ghostbusters that supported three players, so you could run around and chase ghosts and do all that. There was the Extreme Ghostbusters, which is called Code Ecto-1 for the Game Boy Advance. There's a lot of these games that were released on Game Boy, Nintendo DS. And then there's two modern ones. Ghostbusters, there's one that's just called Ghostbusters the Video Game, and then another one that just came out not too long ago called Ghostbusters the Sanctum of Slime, and those are both available for the PS3 and Xbox 360. And then there are some other ones, like the one that Chris was talking about on the iPad. There's some Windows only, you know, like online ones and stuff like that. So there have been Ghostbusters games, you know, all the way from since the movie came out in the mid 80s all the way up till recent on the, you know, well, I was going to say the most recent consoles, but, you know, PS3, that generation. So there's a lot of Ghostbusters games out there.
Yeah, I've never played any of them, but I wonder if the one that Chris had on the iPad, if they have that for Android or something. Because my kids all have old phones of mine that they might want to play on there. So as far as we talked about the cartoon, the real Ghostbusters series, there was also another Ghostbusters series before that, right? Around the same time, which I watched, I started watching one.
With the monkey.
I'm like, this. Yeah.
Or the gorilla. And
I started watching the intro, and I was just like, this is not the one.
Right. So, you know what? And I'm a little hazy on this, so I probably shouldn't even talk about it. But there was an old, isn't there an old movie called Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Well, there's an old, I think it was a TV series called The Ghostbusters, and it was like black and white way back then.
Yeah. And then
it had a guy in a gorilla suit or something like that. And then that.
And so this cartoon is based on that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And then I think then they made the movie. But then when they made the cartoon, they couldn't call it Ghostbusters because that other cartoon already had that name. So they had to make it the real Ghostbusters.
All right. I didn't do my research on the other one. So you're telling me that this other Ghostbusters that came out in 1986 was based on a different movie and just by coincidence came out after?
Yeah, it was based on, I think it was a TV series, like back in maybe, I don't know, the 50s or 60s. And the cartoon's based off that.
Have you watched it at all?
I've seen one. It's
because I didn't
different.
Even watch it.
It's different. It's the animation's kind of spotty. It's
yeah. I saw the intro and I kind of skipped throughout the episode just and I this is I'm like I'm yeah the same thing where I was like the animation's kind of this definitely not the one that I remembered and so it was the real Ghostbusters and so I got some of that and the kids were watching that. Obviously, Christopher, you watched the real Ghostbusters, and Flack, you don't remember really watching it, huh?
The cartoon, no. Now I know that the TV series, the old one, it was, let's see here. This says it was in 1975 and it was called The Ghostbusters, but Ghostbusters is two words. It says there were only 15 episodes and it was a series about a group of bumbling detectives who would investigate ghostly occurrences. And then it says, the series was unrelated to the 1984 film Ghostbusters, although Columbia Pictures did pay Filmation for a license to use the name. So it kind of sounds like it went back and forth. I mean, you have this TV show called The Ghostbusters. Then they come out with a movie called Ghostbusters, which is unrelated, but kind of similar. And then you have the Ghostbusters cartoon, which is related off the TV, which is really capitalizing off the movie. And then you have the real Ghostbusters, which is off the movie, which is after the other cartoon that was off the earlier TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been slimed.
Did you follow all that?
Yeah, I honestly, I haven't seen enough of the Filmation. It's totally different, so don't go expecting the other Ghostbusters. You'll be in for a shock.
Some of the toys and stuff like that. I mean, gosh, I mean, I don't even think we could go over what there was out for Ghostbusters. It's almost like you said earlier, Rob, before the show, anything they could put a logo on, they pretty much did, right?
You know what? There's so much stuff. You know, like we joked about on the Blues Brothers, we went online and we're like, oh, well, I found this one thing, or I found that. eBay actually has a category called Ghostbusters toys. They have their own category.
Really?
There's so many things on there. Clicked on that, and on the first page of auctions that show up for Ghostbusters toys, there's a gumball machine, lunchboxes, pencil sharpeners. Of course, they had the proton pack that you could actually wear, radios, frisbees, magnets, Legos, the trading cards for both Ghostbusters 1 and 2. There was a skateboard. I put clothes on here, but clothes, there's hats, there's hoodies. You name it, literally. There's board games. There's a Play-Doh thing there. I saw a Ghostbusters yo-yo. And this isn't just stuff. I mean, this is stuff that came out from 1984 when the movie came out. They're still coming out with stuff today. I mean, there are still Ghostbusters stuff. So if you want to collect Ghostbuster stuff, you've got 25 years worth of stuff to start digging through. I mean, there's Ghostbuster stuff everywhere.
Yeah, I was at, I think it was JCPenney's right before Christmas, and they had a Ghostbuster shirt. It's the same logo, but I think the face is a little bit different or something. Something's a little bit different. That's what they kind of like jazzed it up a little bit, but you can, it's still like a brand new Ghostbuster shirt. All that.
Did you guys have, oh, go ahead.
Well, all that retro stuff, you know, it's all coming back. Like Mattel has made all these 6-inch figures based off the movies that look really good, and it's a lot of stuff now.
Oh man, just looking at just the action figures, I saw there's an eBay lot that comes with a toy Ecto-1, and then some building. I don't know if it's supposed to be Dana's building or whatever. And then it had 57 various figures.
Oh wow,
that was just in one eBay lot. So there's stuff all over the place. But I was going to ask, did you guys have? You said that Ghostbusters wasn't kind of a big thing. Did you have any Ghostbusters toys or whatever when you're a kid? The only thing I had a sweatshirt, a gray sweatshirt, not a hoodie, but just a regular old sweatshirt that had the Ghostbusters logo on the front.
I just remembered when you said that. I have a glow-in-the-dark Ghostbusters frisbee. I think it's from the second movie. That was some kind of probably a mail-in or something. And I have one of the it came in the Hardee's Happy Meals or whatever they were, kids' meals, and it was like a little electronic, and you'd press two buttons, and it would say Ghostbusters or make some kind of sound. I actually still have my Ecto-1, the car, like that came with like the action figures. I still have that car. It's a really
cool.
It's a really cool toy. And then I think I have like maybe one or two figures, but that's all. That's all I ever. I didn't go crazy.
All right.
Yeah, I never had anything. I may have an Ecto-1 car soon. There's right down the street from me where I walk the dog, there's a little shop where it's mostly like ambulance and police cars, stuff like that, where they do siren and light repairs and all this kind of stuff. And back in a little fenced in area, there's an old Cadillac. It's the same model is the Ecto-1. I posted a picture of it, I think last week or something, on Twitter and Facebook, and I'll probably use it actually for the artwork for this MP3.
Oh, yeah.
But so that's down the street, man. And I'm just like, it's been sitting there. I've been here at this. I've been in this house 14 years. It's probably been here the whole time,
dude. Wow. Just think how cool. your kids would be if you dropped them off to school driving an Ecto-1, like all fixed up.
That's the thing. You got to put the money to fix it. And I'm not a mechanic, but it's definitely cool. I just, in last week when I got the picture, I mean, it's weird. The way the building is set back is like, I don't know, I probably shouldn't have been back there, but I was just like, I'm doing the podcast, man, screw it. I got to take a picture. If I end up in jail, it's even a better story for the show.
Yep.
I felt weird because people that were at the coffee shop next door were like, what is he doing? And there was cameras on the building, so I'm sure I'm on video taking pictures of it. But
dude, you got to get like a jumpsuit and go get in there and have your kid take your picture while you're in the car, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a big chain link with barbed wire, so I don't think I'm going to get climbing it.
It'd be worth it. Come on.
Yeah, hey, but it's cool, man.
Rambo shows you how to get through that.
Well, I got to tell you a quick story. I know that we're running long tonight. About 3 years ago, I went to New York City for work, and I was actually doing some contract work for the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. And so, and this, you know, I probably hadn't seen Ghostbusters at that point. I don't know. It had been a long time, you know. So we go there and we had to drive all around New York City to do these different things. And so we pull up, this guy's driving me around. I'm in the passenger seat of this car. I've never been to New York City before. And we pull up and catty corner from where we are at the light, I see this fire station. I'm like, oh, that's a fire station. That's cool. And he goes, yeah, you ever see Ghostbusters? That's the fire station. And I look at it and it hit me. I was like, oh my God, that was it. I mean, we were right there at the intersection of the actual fire department, you know, that they turned into Ghostbusters headquarters. So I did take a picture with my phone. It's kind of blurry because I think the light's about to turn green. And there were actually guys walking around outside in Ghostbusters uniforms. And he said, you know, people come there all the time to get their pictures taken in front of the building, or sometimes they film stuff outside or whatever.
Oh, but wow.
So I did actually drive by there. And then later on when we were downtown, we drove by, the actual name of the building is 55 Central Park West, but everybody in New York calls it the Ghostbusters building. It's the building, where it was Dana's apartment. And the front of the building looks exactly like it looks in the movie. But the funny thing is when you're actually there, it's not very tall. I can't remember how many stories tall it is. It's like 12 stories or something like that. And in the movie, it's this giant super skyscraper. And what they had done is they just made a matte painting, which they attached in the movie to make it look like it's much taller. So, you know, the top of the building is just a soundstage somewhere. But so I have actually been to both of those places in real life. And it's always cool, you know, whenever you see a location that you see later on in a film, especially the fire department, it's because they've kept it, you know, it essentially looks the same, still has bright red doors. It looks just like it did in the movie.
Wow.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw the picture and I had responded to you. I'm like, are those guys in Ghostbuster uniforms?
It was so weird. Yeah,
that is really cool. But I can see, yeah, you know, people, it's New York City and people are always coming and going. And, you know, if you're, because I mean, I was at the not this past September, it was 2012. I was at the Columbus Comic Con, and there was they had the Ecto-1 there, and there were some people dressed up Ghostbuster outfits. And then just about 2 months ago, out here where your buddy lives in Rochester, there's a it's called the Strong Museum. It's the children's play museum or something like that. It's this big, huge place, man. If you ever come back up, you definitely should go there with your kids. It's awesome. They just have tons of toys, and it's just done really, really well. And they have Star Wars days there. And so we went for Star Wars days, and there was two guys walking around in Ghostbuster uniforms. So it was kind of cool. They definitely stood out, but we got some pictures taken with them and everything. So
yeah, there's a group down here in Houston. They're called like the Houston Ghostbuster Club or something like that. I'm not sure, but I've seen them at a couple of comic conventions, and it's like a group of people, and they dress up like Ghostbusters. And I don't know what they do, if that's all they do is go to conventions, or if they have meetings, or if they go try to catch ghosts. I don't know what they do, but it's really neat because you go to this comic convention, there's these people dressed up like Ghostbusters, and some of them even have like cars that they're not like an ambulance or anything or a hearse, but it's they'll take, one of them was like oh man, I forgot what kind of car it was, but it's just like a little four-door tiny little SUV, but they, it was white, and they put like the Ghostbuster signal on it, and they put some of the stuff on the roof. So that's pretty neat. I'm sure some of the bigger cities also, you know, around probably have them too, but
yeah, that's cool, man. I like when people do that. So yeah, that's gonna, I think that's gonna wrap up our Ghostbusters episode, guys. It was fun though. This was, like I said, this was probably my second favorite movie to prepare for. And I'll definitely be watching this movie probably in the near future. I really enjoyed it. It'll be one of those comforting movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Christopher, you mentioned our next guest. In 2 weeks, we're gonna do an episode on cartoons.
Nice.
And yeah, we have Sean Robert. He's going to be coming on from Brandon in the 80s and
awesome.
The Cult Film Club podcast. So,
well, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. He's got a great website, man. And
yeah, he knows his
and
stuff.
A really good. Yeah, he does. So, and
I hope we talk about the original Ghostbusters cartoon.
Well, an interesting thing is, I mean, I don't know what he's going to talk about, but last year for Halloween, he may have done it for a couple of Halloweens. He actually posted on his blog and Facebook and stuff every day an animation cell from the Ghostbusters cartoon, like a different ghost or whatever.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah. So it kind of tied in with when I was doing the art for when I did the art from when I was watching the series. I did it in October for like Halloween as well, and it was neat because we would kind of talk about some of the characters back and forth, and then he would show me some of the animation cells that he has from that episode, which is one of the characters that I drew for my project. So it's really neat. I think he's a pretty big Ghostbusters fan.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to having him on. I think it's going to be a good show. And like you said, he knows his stuff. So
yeah.
I have a feeling him and Rob will be bouncing off each other with stuff. And I'll just be like, so, but, before we go, Chris, why don't you, give yourself a plug again, man, where people can find you and what you got going on.
Okay. My website is ctupa.com. I've got a blog on there. I've got some artwork. You can link to my Flickr page. You've got a lot of just retro art right now. I finished my Ghostbuster art journal. So now I'm doing Star Trek Enterprise, watching episodes, just drawing characters from that just for fun. Then, I think I'm going to do Dungeons and Dragons cartoon and maybe Silverhawks or Jade.
Oh.
So, because I haven't seen all of those, so I don't even remember that very well. So, that'll be kind of like the Ghostbusters. We'll see if I end up liking it or not. So,
right.
Do you sell those drawings that you do?
I do sell drawings, but like the Ghostbusters, it's in, I made a journal. And so it's, so they're in my journal, but I can draw and sell anything, you know. I like doing that, but the Ghostbusters project itself was in my journal, so I don't really.
Well, I'm going to be watching to see if any of those advanced Dungeons and Dragons drawings come up for sale. I might have to watch.
Oh,
those.
Man, I love that cartoon. I'm a big cartoon guy too, so it's funny now that I have kids. It's like, hey, you guys want to watch Dungeons and Dragons? Because that's what Daddy's watching. And so yeah, they
sweet.
They're going to grow up having a dad that watches all these cartoons with them. So it'll be fun.
It is fun. And if they watch them with you and they like them, it's definitely a good time. Cause I know I introduced Dungeons and Dragons to my oldest son and he used to watch them all the time. Now, not so much anymore, but he's getting a little older. He's what? Just that darn SpongeBob, man.
Oh, I love SpongeBob. I love it. It's funny. Cause, my daughter will watch My Little Pony, the new My Little Pony, and I really like that cartoon. And it's funny, we were watching an episode the other day, and she was like, I was kind of asking her just to see if she was paying attention, like different characters' names and stuff, you know. And so she started like telling me like what the whole, because she's already seen all the ones on Netflix. So she was telling me like, well, this pony's going to do this and they're going to do this. So, you know, do you understand that? And then they're going to do this. You know, do you following me? And I was just like, yeah, yeah, I think I can figure it out. But she was so earnest and like, you know, explaining to me like what these ponies were going to do. And it's like, yeah, I've seen like a million cartoons. I know what's going to happen. It's really cute though.
Well, that's good that you're spending time like that, you know, watching stuff like that. So
yeah, I
it's fun.
That's the only time I let him out of the closet is to watch cartoons with me.
Oh man. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming out.
Oh man,
it was a good time.
Thank you guys. I'm honored to be here. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed hanging out with you guys. Thank you.
Man, it was a blast. We'll have to have him back for Ghostbusters 2 when we do that.
Yeah, and keep us posted, man, if you do end up starting a new podcast.
All right, definitely. Thank you.
Very cool. Rob, any parting words for you?
Oh, no. Just had fun as usual and looking forward to having Sean on the next show. And we'll have to – we're getting so many – guest hosts that come on that we have a great time with. So I look forward to having new people on and planning stuff to have people back again. This was a fun episode for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to next episode, and we'll have to get Christopher back on here too. So yeah, it was definitely a good time.
Sure. I think I may go watch Ghostbusters 2 now.
Well, you go have fun with that. I won't be. I hate to be coming down so hard on it. It's just like I said earlier, man. It's just watching one and really loving that movie, then just following it up with that one. It was just kind of a letdown.
Yeah,
but
no,
whatever. We can't all love these things, right?
No, I hear you. It's nothing compared to the first one.
Yeah. So. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this week, and until next time, thanks for listening. If you'd like to contact the show, you can send an email to feedback@throwbackreviews.com or call 716-243-2709 and leave a voicemail. You can also find us on Facebook, we're Throwback Reviews Podcast, or on Twitter @Throwback Review. Don't forget to head over to the Throwback Network, where you can find more great retro-themed podcasts. Go to throwbacknetwork.net. And as always, thanks to Pixel 8 for the intro and closing music. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/peachypixel8.
We kicked its ass.